music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you very much. We are five firm friends in spite of everything. Let me introduce you to my four colleagues, John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, Dennis Norton. And the first question goes to John, as ever. John, here are the King's Singers with the ECO.
I may go out tomorrow if I can borrow a coat to wear. Oh, I step out in style with my sincere smile and my dancing there. A gracious, a mommy, courageous, charming. Oh, would it be a thought and there could be well accepted everywhere. It's just amazing how bad people can be.
As I said, John, the ECO was in attendance there, but where might I reasonably expect to hear the RCO?
Rome.
The Rome what?
Royal it's wrong, College actually. Of Organists?
Well,
they don't have an orchestra.
No, I wouldn't hear them, no. The RCO, they adopted that name following a centenary in 1988.
English?
No.
They say, well, uh-huh. You didn't get my
who's
point.
The,
Roman Catholic, RCO. Roman Catholic. Notorious in Rome for accompanying the King's Singers.
You would expect to hear the RCO in Amsterdam, because the Royal Concert...
Ah,
of
the
orchestra.
Royal Concert, come
yes. on. Frank, it's your turn, I'm happy to say. Why should this march make a 19th century reader think of the times? I shudder to think how long it may take to get to the answer of this question. Sorry.
No, I'd never heard the march, knowingly.
No, it's by Sousa.
Ah.
And well, it's named after, well, the times, really. Thomas Barnes was the editor from 1817, and he won this nickname for the paper.
The nickname of the paper, I think it's anything to do with Barnes, is the Thunderer.
That's right. The Thunderer was the name of the march we played by John Philip Sousa.
What did he name the march after?
Well, the after Thunder. The newspaper.
Did he?
Yes, yes, right, yes. I'll tell you what, let's move on, shall we?
Why would he do that?
Ian, really can you explain a line of song that used to be sung quite a lot in the 1920s? I will sing it to you. 5GB is calling thee from over land and sea. Can you explain that, please?
The 1920s?
Yes, yes.
Is this something to do with radio?
Yes, indeed, yes.
5GB?
Yeah.
As I always think in that period of tuning in as a little boy to 2LO.
Ah, well, its younger brother was 5GB. It was the Daventry radio transmitter. Dennis, from me, or rather from my piano here, an introduction, and then let's see if you can continue with the tune when I leave off.
I'm not going to detain you long with this, Steve, knowing how eager you are today to move on to the next question.
Well,
no.
Do you recognize the tune?
Yes, it's one of those sparky little tunes that have got...
You nearly got the first word. Spooky.
Oh, is it? Yes, it's a novelty tune.
A novelty number.
Yeah.
Yes. You didn't guess it,
no.
Did you? Spooky Takes a Holiday by Larry Clinton, it was. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Awfully good, too. Yeah, awfully good.
A round of questions about this and that. John, This is from a letter. A quintet for oboe, clarinet, corno, bassoon and pianoforte was received with extraordinary applause. It is the best thing I ever wrote in my life.
W.A. Mozart.
Strong words, yes. From whom, to whom, and perhaps about what?
Oh, it's about his quintet for that combination, K452.
Oh, absolutely.
That would get written around probably to his father.
That would get a round of applause from any other audience. And he was writing to his father as well, as you say. Frank, John called it K452. What's all this K business? What does it stand for?
I thought it was Kirtle. And then I discovered it wasn't Kirtle, it's Kirchle.
Kirchle.
And it's the bloke who did the musical equivalent of a bibliography of Mozart and gave everything he wrote numbers. And his own name is then applied to it, so you can identify who numbered it. So it's K-12, is what Kirchhoff described as the being his...
Mozart's 12th composition, yes, that's right, and so on. I always think it must be a lovely moment in heaven when Mozart, who'd been there quite a long time, was joined by Kirchhoff. And Kirchhoff went up to him and said, "I'm Kirchhoff." And Mozart said, "So?" Because he wouldn't know.
No.
Ian, you know what it's like to appear in a successful stage musical. May you never know how it feels to be in one that isn't successful. But the late Betty Davis appeared in the title role of a musical based on a 1938 novel, but despite her presence, it closed after a few previews. The musical was called Miss Moffat. Which book was it based on?
Are we in Emlyn Williams?
Yes, we are, that's right, yes.
And it was The Corn is
the
Green.
The Corn is Green was the book, and the musical was called Miss Moffat, yes.
I spoke to Emlyn Williams about that. Do you know, he wrote, it was a musical, and he wrote the lyrics himself. It's a picture of Emlyn Williams, right? And they insisted on changing the story from being Wales to Louisiana. It didn't exactly help its chances.
Dennis, there's a strong connection across the centuries between Valentine Snow and Valeda Snow. Have you any idea what it might be, the connection?
Well, can I answer the second bit first? Yeah. Valeda Snow is a name from my youth because my parents used to have a 12-inch record of... Well, she was only known as Valeda, I think, in those days. And she came over here in a show called Blackbirds of 1934, which we had all the songs from. Yeah. And one of them was I Wish I Were Twins, which I've only heard Fats Waller sing since then. She was a trumpet player, marvellous trumpet player, and also a very, very good singer. And she was quite a sensation, and the show was a sensation. It also introduced Peg Leg Bates, which will be a name familiar to
dancer.
A rapidly diminishing minority. Yes.
I remember Peg Leg
Bates. Do you remember Peg Leg Bates? Yes.
Any variety, I saw him.
Just to straighten things out, Valentine Snow was Handel's trumpeter. Valeda Snow, as you said, a girl, singer, trumpeter. She was very good, too.
Excellent.
Sounded like Louis Armstrong, but they always did in those days.
I remember somebody once told me that it was in Hertfordshire that they had some neighbours called Snow who had christened their house Yesteryear.
Yes.
And then, you know, the conversation was, why not Kilimanjaro?
Valeda also, as you said, sang. But your particular interest, Ian, must lie in the identity of the drummer on this 1935 record. A fellow Scot, fellow Housewives Choice presenter, and later Mantovani's manager and agent. Listen.
I wish that I were twin, you great big baby kin, so I could love you twice as much as I do.
I wish I were twins, yes, with who at the drums...
George Elric.
George Elric, yes, dear.
Housewife's Choice.
Yes,
yardy-dardy-da,
let's all do it together. Yardy-dardy-da. Making one tune meld into another is what my piano medleys are all about.
Mm.
8 tunes to be identified, 4 for each side. John and Frank, the first 4. first one, Frank, you probably
is, got. Yes, who's taking you home tonight?
Yes, that's right.
Lot of the Dawns. It's the penultimate waltz.
I dare say John knew that next one.
No, he should have.
It's a bit between the two of you, actually. It's Demande et Réponse from Petite Suite de Concert, Coleridge Taylor. Sometimes known as Question and Answer. The third one.
Schumann?
No.
Chopin?
No. Bit later.
Semi-car.
Rather, a bit later.
I mean, I know it, but I can't think what it is.
It's your favourite Irish composer. It's D.V. O'Rourke.
Ah, yes.
Dvorak.
Yes, old Antonio.
I think you sacrificed.
It's a Slavonic dance.
Frank's got it. Yes, one of the Slavonic dances.
Well,
number two from
Opus. Got it or you not got it?
That's right.
Well,
comes from
I'll Opus, be your sweetheart.
Opus Sensitive. Thank you, that's right. Over to the other side.
A touch of the Fritz Kreisler.
Yes.
Liebes Freud.
Freud, that's right, yes. And then I merged two in rather quickly.
Yeah, very swiftly and rather adroitly. We're wonderful Copenhagen. Not very much of it.
That's right, and then...
Two lovely black eyes.
And the very last one was...
The one that puts such a terrible scare into visiting teams at Cardiff Arms Park.
That's right, yes.
The land of my father.
That's the one. Well, here's a piece of music by a living composer. Simple question to each of you, to all of you. How old do you think he is? John, how old would the composer would that be?
No idea. I mean, the arrangement sounds if it might come from the 20s or early 30s.
Oh, yes.
But I mean, it could have been a tune from, I don't know, 1870?
Put a figure on him.
All right, I'll say 1875.
Or her. Born 1875, yes. Frank?
It's early, isn't it? But you say he is. So he's still alive.
A living composer, actually.
Oh, well,
142.
142.
How old are you, Steve?
Ian? 91. Dennis?
No, I think he's one of these prodigies. Like, is it Mozart? I think he's 8.
Can I have a second guess that he's about your age?
Yes, you're right.
I'm right then.
John's gone and got a mark.
Can I have a third guess based on knowing your predilections? What? Is it Vivian Ellis?
No, it's one of mine, actually.
Oh, I see.
I wrote it, so John gets a mark for getting it right, and Dennis gets a mark for being nearest in date. The BBC, at enormous expense, has procured for me an empty cigar box, on which I'm going to tap out the rhythms of a well-known piece of music or two. To help with the rhythmic pulse of the music, I'll give you a little count in each time. So, John, in the original, this is marked Allegro Commodo. At a convenient tempo. Right. 1, 2, 3.
It's a march for a Death Watch Beatle.
Yes. Otherwise known as...
Well, it must be chamber music if it's Allegro Commodo.
Yes, da da dum, da da dum, dum da 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 dum, da da dum, da dum, dum da 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 dee. Yes, you know it's the Bure number one from Bach Cello Suite number 3 in C. But I think you get a mark for ingenuity. Frank, yours is from a memorable moment towards the end of a popular overture, first heard in 1858. 1, 2. And then it goes presto furioso, as Ned Sherrin would say. It goes, in fact, I think. Yes,
well, you seem to know it. Well, don't sit there silent. Oh, no. It's Orpheus and the Underworld.
Underworld, yes.
Lock.
Yes. Ian, yours is marked in the score Allegro ma non troppo. And any singer who takes it troppo is in for trouble. One, two.
Yes, well, this particular singer never took it at all.
No, it's not one of yours. No.
The thought of standing up and singing that in concert, especially when you haven't rehearsed a production, much too terrifying. The Nightmare Song from Ireland.
That's right. Sullivan. Dennis, a much variationed bit of melody for you. One, two.
Do you know that? That simply sounds to me like somebody hitting a box with a... either your musical possibly tried to get out from... Oh, yeah, I know that. I don't know the name, obviously.
I don't think it's obvious. That. It's not obvious at all. You've heard Julian Lloyd Webber's version of that, haven't you?
It's Julian Lloyd Webber dancing on a shoebox.
Ian, can you give him a composer for that?
Goodness, there's somebody in the audience who's just dying.
In another life. We're getting further away instead of closer.
May we tell you?
Yes, please.
Caprice number 24,
thank
Paganini.
You. Paganini, yes. Oh. Done in variation form by pretty well everybody since. We come now to some recognisable musical voices, either musicians' own voices or just voices that are musical. John, you'll recognise the musical work, and I don't think you'll have much difficulty naming the speaker.
Just then, a duck came waddling around. She was glad that Peter had not closed the gate and decided to take a nice swim in the deep pond in the meadow.
Oda Slobodskaya. No. She has recorded. Now, that was John Gielgud.
Yes, it was Sir John Gielgud.
You know, John sometimes does operatic productions. Mm. And he sometimes gives the music a bit of a bad deal. He was producing Don Giovanni at the Colosseum. And he wanted to put a point right on the stage, managed to get the people on the stage to stop. But the orchestra went on playing. Charles McCarris had got his head down. Eventually, John ran down the aisles of the theatre saying, "Oh, do stop that dreadful music!" It was Don Giovanni, yeah. Did I say?
Not bad for an opera producer, yeah. Frank, a little music and then another familiar voice.
That is the sound of the string family. First violins, second violins, violas, cellos, and double basses. All members of the string family are alike in everything but size.
Recognize the voice?
Touch for Merg.
Yehudi.
Yes, Yehudi who? Yehudi Menuhin.
It's the Yehudi Menuhin, yes, that's right. Ian, yet another night, now I come to think of it.
Damn!
A recent night.
Yes, that's right.
Sir Rex Harrison.
Yes, that's right, from I've Gone Across Her Face, My Fair Lady. Yeah. Dennis, this speaker never made it to a knighthood, but he did belong to the aristocracy.
One more time.
Well, he was one of was he one of the like the earl or,
yes,
or king,
right,
or duke?
Keep going.
Count
Thank
Basie.
You, Count. Yes. Count Basie. Count Basie. Yes, April in Paris. That's right. Count Basie. Mm. Now, finally, for the songs. Nina Simone had a hit with "My Baby Just Cares for Me." Something tells me that Frank's version may be less successful. And if I have anything to do with it, rather quicker.
My baby don't care for shows.
My baby don't care for clothes. My baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for furs and laces. My baby don't care for high-toned places. My baby don't care for rings or other expensive things. She's sensible as can be. My baby don't care who knows it. My baby just cares for me.
John's choice was originally scored for violin and piano under the title Les Muandes Arlequins, Serenade. More recently, it's become known just as Drigo's Serenade. John, let's do it between us.
Right.
I very much doubt whether Dennis would find life worth living at all if there were no songs by R.P. Weston and Bert Lee.
Well, this one was scored for Red Nose and Baggy Trousers.
Well, indeed. Actually, it was written in the year you were born. We knew that. Yes. The song title, I may say, has no particular relevance to Dennis's birth.
Do you want any dirty work done, any dirty work today? Here we are, ready and willing to kill any lady's old man for a shilling. So if he's shabby and worn out while you're still young and gay, let's put strychnine in his tea, rely on us for secrecy. Just ask the lady at number three any dirty work today.
Of all the great composers of show tunes, Andrew Lloyd Webber, Andrew Lloyd Sondheim, Andrew Lloyd Gershwin, the king in my view was Andrew Lloyd Kern, or rather Jerome Kern, if only because he composed this.
Time and again I've longed for adventure, something to make my heart beat the faster. What did I long for? I never really knew. Finding your love, I found my adventure. Touching your hand, my heart beats the faster. All that I want in all of this world is you. You are the promised kiss of springtime that makes the lonely winter seem long. You are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. You are the angel glow that lights a star. The dearest things I know are what you are. Someday my happy arms will hold you, and someday I'll know that moment divine when all the things you are mine.
After that, do you really want to know the score? Yeah. All right, then. It was a victory for Frank Muir and John Amis. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music with John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Richard Edis.